So, can you guys hear me? Yeah? All right, good. It's 10:45 and it's time for us to start. I hope everyone is awake and recovered from last night. I saw a lot of you having a lot of fun, but what happens in Austin stays in Austin. So, but anyways, let's get started. We have a lot of content to go over today. I hope you guys can see me. I'm not as tall as the rest of the presenters, so I even wore heels so I can be a little bit higher. But anyways, let's get started. My name is Sunita Samuel. I'm one of the senior test leads in the information protection team in the Office org, and I'm here today to talk to you about message encryption in Office 365. So let's dive right in. Why is message encryption needed? Well, since you are here for the encryption session, I understand you appreciate the need or the ability to be able to send encrypted messages from a sender to a recipient. And sometimes an organization might want to, or maybe even be required to, follow compliance standards and be able to send encrypted messages out. I will just go over some of the common scenarios where encryption may be needed or could be used. So let's say I'm a patient and I want my medical records sent to me. Today it's not as easy to get a hold of your medical records because you have to first sign waivers and then have them send the medical records to your doctor's office. Many times it's faxed over and who knows who's at the other end of that fax number, or it could be even sent by snail mail. So it's not as efficient and it is sensitive information that you do want to be encrypted. Also, there could be cases where your organization is working on something very top secret and you're not ready to release that information out. So you want to be able to keep that information within your organization and make sure it's not disclosed until you are ready to do so. So those are some cases where you would want to make sure that there's no accidental leakage that happens and company confidential information stays company confidential until you are ready to do so, to disclose it, I mean. And also, there could be cases where we have a couple of folks that are working on something that's top secret, and you do not even want the corporate admin to be able to view it, where you would want it to be such top secret that, you know, only the recipient should be able to view it. So what we'll do is, today I'll talk about three encryption offerings we have in Exchange, Office 365. And some of these are actually offered in on-premises as well. So the first one is our latest and greatest, and you got to see Asaf and his cool hairdo demo this at the keynote. The first one is called Office 365 Message Encryption, and this enables you to be able to send an encrypted message to any SMTP address. And this will be the case where I talked about the doctor's office that wants to send out that encrypted patient information or a financial institution that wants to send out the bank statements, et cetera. And this one, also, you don't have to worry about what the recipient is running, what operating system, as long as they have a browser that they can use to do basic form posts, they will be able to open this encrypted message. The second one, how many of you are familiar with IRM, Information Rights Management? Great. I spent a long time in my life working on this, so it's great to see a lot of hands going up. So this is, again, the company confidential scenario that I talked about, where you don't want the information leaked. This will enable you to have encrypted content as well as enforce usage rights. Usage rights would mean you can't copy, you can't forward, or you cannot print. Those are some of the examples. And in this case, one another example where this could be used is, let's say you're working in a smaller group and you're not really ready for that email to go out to the broader team. So you can use, for instance, the company, sorry, the do not forward template, and you can send emails back and forth, and you can be sure that that message does not get forwarded out. Another case would be company confidential, where let's say it keeps it within your organization and If it got leaked outside, let's say someone decided, hey, I want to take a look at this email at home, so I'm going to export it out and put it in my thumb drive, and I'm going to go to a bar before I go home. And if you leave that drive out and someone gets a hold of it, even if they open that message, they will not be able to authenticate and be able to view it. So accidental leakage is prevented there. There's also S/MIME. This has been around for quite some time. I actually had a great age-related joke here, and I ran it by a few folks, and they didn't really think it was that funny, so I'm not going to use it here. They thought I was as old as S/MIME. I'm not. So S/MIME enables you to sign and encrypt messages using certificates. This is the case where you don't even want your admin to be able to see the encrypted message. So it's purely a peer-to-peer encryption, and it'll enable the sender and recipient to keep it encrypted. So the next topic that we'll jump right into, we'll actually go into each of these in a bit more detail, and next one we'll want to look at is Office 365 message encryption. So this one, again, Asaf covered it at the keynote, but I'll talk more details about what are these different personas have to do to get this enabled. So I'll talk for all of these scenarios, I'll talk about what does an admin need to do, what does a sender need to do, and what does a recipient need to do to be able to do Office 365 type encryption. So for an admin, basically they need to have signed up for Office 365. And also they need to have signed up for Azure Rights Management Services. Anyone familiar with Azure Rights Management? Yeah? Great. So basically, once you've configured that, there are a few nifty PowerShell commandlets that you'll have to run to make sure your Exchange Online is configured to use Azure Rights Management. And once that's done, the admin can just simply use Exchange Transport Rules to enforce whatever rules they want to enforce in their organization. They can say, if it's going outside of my organization, make sure it's encrypted. Or it can say, if my employee or my information worker uses the word encrypt, make sure it's encrypted. And also, the admin now has the ability to add customized branding to encrypted messages and the portal that they'll come to take a look at. So again, this is more of the brand association with your company that you'll have, as well as gives the end user, the recipient, the confidence that this is coming from a company that I know, I trust, and I work with. So it's very prominent there. Also, it allows the admin to do content inspection and do the compliance-related things that need to be done with it. For Asaf had a DLP session yesterday where he talked about incident reports. That's a good example where an admin can say, if anyone is sending encrypted messages outside of my organization, send me an incident report on this. And this way, everyone that needs to know what's going on will be in the know-how. Now we'll talk about the sender. Now, the sender has the ability to send an encrypted message to any SMTP address, regardless of the recipient's client or the service provider. Now, the sender right now would not have to worry about, oh, wait, what operating system is this person going to be using that I'm going to send this to? Do they have the right app installed that they can view this on? So all that is already covered by Office 365 message encryption. The recipient, now they will be able to view the encrypted message on the Office 365 message encryption portal after signing in. And I mentioned before, it could be user with any SMTP address. And the Office 365 portal, message encryption portal, has the rich OWA controls and the viewing composition that aligns with the Office 365 flow. And they are able to reply from that portal and make sure their replies are also encrypted. So we will now go a bit into how does someone actually view on the portal? How does someone actually get to sign in? So there's two ways to sign into the Office 365 message encryption portal. I'm just going to say OME from now on because that's like very long. So OME portal. So one way is using a Microsoft account. A user uses a Microsoft account today, for instance, to sign into Xbox Live or OneDrive. Those are Microsoft accounts. Now, if you have a Hotmail account, an Outlook account, or a Live account, you already have one. You don't have to go create one. However, let's say, well, you know, my end users are the Yahoos and the Gmails out there. So what about those guys? They can actually create a Microsoft account as well. So what will happen is when they try to open the encrypted message, we will first check to see, hey, is this person a Microsoft account or organizational account? And if we see that they don't have either one of them, we will direct them and tell them that, hey, you don't have a Microsoft account or an organizational account. Let me navigate you through a process to create a Microsoft account. And when you do that, you will get an email to your actual Yahoo or Gmail email account saying, hey, click here and confirm you are the person that's trying to set up this Microsoft account. So it's hard for someone to actually claim your email address in the Microsoft account. So once the account has been set up, for instance, Lisa at Yahoo has been set up, a Microsoft account, then they can use that same address to view any encrypted message, OME message that comes from anyone that's using Office 365. For instance, let's say Lisa is wanting to get her medical records, so she emails her doctor's office and tells her, hey, I need my medical records, I've already signed the consent. And she, at the same time, is working with her bank to get her PIN reset. So what will happen is the doctor's office and the financial institution are both signed up for Office 365, and they have both set up OME in their enterprises. And what will happen is Lisa will get encrypted messages from both, but they will totally have two different looks and feels because each organization has customized it for their own with their logo and their disclaimer text, et cetera. And Lisa, however, can log into both of them with her lisa@yahoo.com Microsoft account and view both of them. She does not have to create two separate accounts for these two organizations. And the good thing is the message that came from the bank will be encrypted using the bank's keys, and the doctor's office will use its own keys, but the same Microsoft account stands. And also, the organizational account that I mentioned before, it is the account that you use today to sign into Exchange Online or SharePoint Online. So let's say you're having communication, the nurse is having communication with the patient, they will both be sending encrypted message back and forth, and the nurse could use her organizational account. And as Office 365 embraces additional identity providers, OME will as well, since we're built on that same stack. So with that said, I am going to dive into a demo. I'm going to hijacking Asaf's presentation yesterday, and I'm going to use some of the same stuff. In the sense, I'm going to be using Contoso Pharma. So I have Contoso Pharma, and I have a rep, Serena, who's working with Dr. Tony Ramos on that hair growth thing. I was going to wear the wig, but then I decided not to. I didn't want to mess up my hair. Then we have the admin, Amy, who is going to be administering the Office 365 Admin Center and also Exchange. She manages their infrastructure pretty much. So here we have, I'm going to click over to my demo machine. Worked. All right, so here we have Serena, who's just done talking to Dr. Ramos, and they decide, okay, we need to start exchanging emails regarding the patients that we're going to put on this clinical trial. And she decides to call up Amy, the admin, and tells her, hey, Amy, I just got off the phone with Dr. Ramos, and we need to exchange some information. It does contain some patient-sensitive information. And for some reason, the doctor's office is using social security numbers to track these patients. So I will need to send that information to them. Okay, Amy says, well, you know, that is sensitive information, and we do need to follow some guidelines at our company. So what we need to do is we need to make sure when this message leaves our organization, it is encrypted. So Serena says, well, great, can you set that up? And Amy tells her, sure, why don't you just use the keyword encrypt in your subject, and I will make sure that it is encrypted when it leaves the organization. So here we have, I'm at the Office 365 Admin Center, and I'm going to go into Exchange. And I'm sure you're all familiar with transport rules, but I'm just going to show you. You go to the mail flow. I already have some created just for the sake of time. So here we have, it's very simple. The admin has already pre-configured Azure Rights Management, run the commandlets to make sure it's set up to use Azure Rights Management services. Now, we go here and, again, a basic name, encrypt the medical records, and she's going to use encrypt as a keyword. Just click on subject or body, and you can put that in. Now, here's the new thing. Modify the message security. And you guys might be, those of you that raised your hand for IRM, here is rights protection, but right under it now, we have apply O365 message encryption, and we have already created this, so I'm just going to cancel. So now I'm going to be switching personalities here, and I'm going to log in as Serena. Franco. Coming up, and we have Oa here. So here we go. I'm gonna send this out, so I'm gonna say encrypt. Say batch one. Here we go, and it's gonna be for Dr. Ramos. I just don't want you guys to watch me type all day, so I already typed it up beforehand. I'm gonna copy and paste. Thanks. So here we go. We have that keyword here. And I'm going to send this out. So what's happening right now, the message has been sent out. It's going to our, this is actually production code that's running. So it's actually going to Exchange Online, and it's going to hit that ETR, and it's going to see the word encrypt, and it's going to get encrypted and sent out to Dr. Ramos. So here we have Dr. Ramos. The mail that I just sent out, and you'll see that the message encrypted. This is not what Serena actually typed. What Serena actually typed is in this HTML. It's encrypted, and it's in that HTML that was sent out. And something that you guys can notice here is a text that Amy had put in saying, encrypted message from Contoso Pharma, secured messaging system. And here are some simple instructions Dr. Ramos can follow, and it says save the attachment, open to view, and it tells him, hey, make sure you use your drtonyramos@hotmail.com, because many of us have multiple email addresses, and this one is going to want you to sign in with drtonyramos@hotmail.com. And here is a disclaimer that Contoso Pharma has also set up. Now, we have some default text in there, so if you don't want to configure it, you don't have to. We will just use the default text, but it's always best to have your own, so you can have the branding there. And we have a wonderful logo here as well that says Contoso Pharma. So I'm Dr. Ramos, and I'm, wow, this is an encrypted message. That's great. This is the first time I'm working with encrypted messages. So here I go. I'm going to click on this. I'm going to save it. And Dr. Ramos is impressed that the Contoso Pharma has decided to make sure that they honor the patient confidentiality regulations and have sent it encrypted to him. Now, here is the actual, I haven't gotten on the portal yet. This is actually just showing up from my laptop here, but here is the Contoso Pharma Secure ePortal message, and here's encrypted message, and it tells him who it's from. For instance, let's say Dr. Ramos actually forgot that he had saved this and put it on his desktop. It actually tells him who sent the message to him, and it tells him what he needs to sign in to look at it. So here we go, and here's again the logo here. And let them know that this encryption is by Office 365. And I'm going to click on this link. So what's going to happen is Dr. Ramos is actually already signed in using his Microsoft account. As I mentioned, Hotmail is already a Microsoft account, so he doesn't really need to authenticate. It actually just works for him. He opens it, and here we go. And this is the drug information. Hey, this one patient has been sent the placebo, and the other guy has been sent the real drug now. If Nicholas all of a sudden starts growing hair, it's just a miracle. So here we go. Also, if you notice, you get the wonderful, very similar to OWA look and feel. Dr. Ramos can also reply, and I mentioned this becomes encrypted as well, the reply that he does. It stays within that portal. The branding and the logo still stay the same. So this, again, is actually using Contoso Pharma's keys. So encrypted message will be going out using Contoso Pharma. In this case, it's not actually, again, sending it from the Hotmail account. It's actually going through the portal. So we want to make sure that Dr. Ramos has a copy of the conversation that's going on, because if it's sent, it's gone. So we are going to tell him, you're automatically getting an email copy of this message. So also at this point, he can add whoever he wants to. He can forward this. There might be another doctor that he's working on this trial with, and he can add him if he wants to. So here we go. Thanks. Can't spell things. Okay. So here we go. We even have spell check here, so I'll say good info. So here we go. And he's going to send this out. So it has gone to Serena. And if you look here, as I mentioned, oops, Dr. Ramos has gotten a copy, and so has Serena, the message. Now, Serena, let's say it's Friday, and Serena's ready to leave. She got a phone call from Dr. Ramos saying, hey, I need that next batch information right away. I have appointments with these patients tomorrow, so I need it sent to me right away. She's ready to get out the door, but I guess this is important. So she decides, okay, I'll send it out right away. And here's my next text. Here we go. Allow access. And Serena is going to send the mail to Dr. Ramos. And this time, she's actually going to forget to put encrypt on there. So here we go, next batch. And out it goes, and Serena is out the door as well. Now I'm going to switch personalities again. And this time, I'm going to be Amy again. There we are, and oh, it's going to take me to OWA, so I'll need to get to the admin. So after actually Amy got off the phone with Serena, she decided, you know, I should actually be careful here, because there could be others that are doing the same thing, and I don't want others to maybe forget to use the word encrypt, and others might not know to use the word encrypt. So I'm going to actually leverage DLP in this case. Here's another rule that we can set up to say, hey, if it's going outside the organization and you see Social Security information on there, please encrypt it for me. So same thing, it works with DLP. And here we have, again, message encryption. I'm not going to save it because it's already saved, and it was already there. So when we go back and look at Dr. Ramos, he got the next batch, and he's still impressed that it was sent out encrypted. So here we go, and that was the demo. Any quick questions before I move on? Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the communication with Microsoft's cloud is just for the key exchange to decrypt it.
So the decryption actually happens on the exchange backends. So decryption does not happen locally. That's why this is different, where you don't need to download any apps to view it. Okay. You're actually just viewing it through the portal.
Okay, so the encrypted message is delivered up to the Microsoft Cloud, decrypted, and sent back.
Yes. So at that point, it is in the clear. This is not IRM, so if they want to, they can copy it out, et cetera. So I'll just take a few more questions, because if you can save some of them to the end. Yes. Okay.
Decryption, do you have any of that in there, or is that coming?
So that's something that we're looking at, but it's not there right now for OME. So it is something that we're considering. Okay, last question. Way in the back. I think I heard, if you can hear it, I think I heard if they use the same password as Yahoo and their Yahoo account gets compromised, will their Microsoft account get compromised too? Is that what you asked? Would you have an answer for me, Asaf, on that?
Yeah, I don't think, we're doing stuff from the account management perspective, not specifically from the encryption perspective. So if someone has a compromised account and all of their accounts are using the same passwords, then we probably should figure out a way to teach them not to do that in the first place. There's really nothing special that you can use from an encryption perspective. I'm happy to listen to any ideas around that and make sure that our account and identity management folks take those into their feature set.
Okay, so we can leave some time at the end for questions. If you have more questions, if you can ask me at the end. So I will go and switch my screen. It was one. There we go. And I'll just, there we go. So how did this get configured? So you saw how I can do it through the UI. This can also happen through commandlets, PowerShell commandlets. You can use new transport rule, and you can use the apply OME action, and it'll do OME for you. There's also the option to remove OME. Now, Serena and Dr. Ramos are continuously exchanging emails, and Serena says, I don't want to actually go to the portal every time. This is my company's information. Why do I need to go to the portal all the time to view this? She can easily call up Amy and say, hey, can you put in a decrypt? Well, she doesn't know about decrypt rules, but can you make it so that I don't have to go to the portal all the time? And Amy can easily just put in a decrypt rule when it's coming into the organization that it is decrypted. So it shows up in the clear for Serena. So actually, Serena doesn't ever realize it's encrypted end-to-end unless, she's told that it is. So next one is we'll talk about the customization on the opening text and the HTML that's there. This is also configurable. You can use a set OME configuration commandlet to do this. And again, this will also enable you to show your branding information, be more prominent in the emails that you send out. Similarly, here is the actual portal text. You still use a set OME configuration commandlet to set the portal text. We have the logo as well as the portal view that they get. And we saw the beautiful O365 UI and the rich OA controls that you go and get at the portal. Spell check, text editor, all that stuff is there in the O365 message encryption portal. Now, we've seen the usage scenarios, et cetera, and now what we'll do is we will dive in and look under the hood and see how it actually works. So here we go. Here's Serena, who has sent the message. And what will happen is the transport rule is hit, and we will go in the back end of our servers, back end servers, we will go get the keys for Contoso Pharma, only for Contoso Pharma, and get the branding that they have set. And then what we will do is encrypt that message, wrap that encryption message in the HTML, and make sure the appropriate branding is used, and we will send it out to, that's an encrypted message there, send it out to Dr. Ramos. And Dr. Ramos gets it, it's encrypted, and he makes the basic post to the Exchange backend. And at that point, we validate some of the metadata information that's sent up. We also have the encrypted information. And we will check, I mentioned the two accounts that you have, Microsoft account or the organizational account. If you don't have one, we will help you create one. Then what will happen is then we go get the keys for that organization, decrypt it, and show it in the portal. So that is how that works. Bit more detail. This, the reason I mentioned you have to go set up Azure Rights Management in the beginning is this is built on top of IRM. So we use the IRM technology that's available. It uses 2048-bit keys and SHA-256 for encryption. And also, encrypted messages are wrapped in the HTML. So the encrypted information and the metadata goes with that HTML. But you do have to get on the portal to view it, though. So when a user opens and clicks on the link for the attachment, it is temporarily posted until we verify who you are. And once that's validated, we show it to you in the clear. Again, we saw the portal where it was the modern UI. And again, messages reply from the portal is also encrypted. And this slide is courtesy of Shobit. It shows you the pricing for Azure Rights Management. It currently comes in E3 and E4, which has RMS already included, or else you can purchase it separately. It is $2 per user per month. And how many of you are aware of EHE? Oh, you know about EHE. Okay. Couple of folks. So we will be upgrading our users from EHE to OME. Some of the migrations have already started. So this upgrade, you don't really have to worry about anything. We will do the upgrade for you. The Azure Rights Management sheets will be added at no cost. And we will also make sure the rules that you have today are also moved to the new OME rules. We will disable the old rules once they've been moved. You'll be notified well in advance about the experience that the end user will have, as well as what you can expect once you go to OME. And you just saw how OME works. It is much nicer look and feel than EHE has today. So, what is actually different about EHE and OME? So some of the highlights that I want to call out is the file attachment size has gone up. EHE gave you 10 MB, and OME will give you 25 MB. And you have the rich customization that's possible. Also, you get this as part of Azure Rights Management, and you get all the goodness of Azure Rights Management as well. So with that said, we are going to look at information rights management. So many of you had mentioned you have IRM today, and it's a great technology. It ensures that your information stays within the organization. There are many templates that are available, such as company confidential, also do not forward. This is available in on-premises as well. Can I see a show of hands of the ones that said, you know, IRM? Do you guys use it on-premise? Yeah? Okay. So RMS server is a bit difficult to set up and manage. So we do have Azure Rights Management Services. And we've also done some releases so that your on-premise Exchange server can talk to Azure Rights Management as well. It's called the Azure Rights Management Connector. So you can configure rights management in the cloud and have your Exchange server talk to RMS in the cloud. But this, again, is persistent encryption and usage rights with your message. So if you leave it at a bar, you can open it, you can try to open it, but you can't unless you have the appropriate credentials to do so. So some of the usage restrictions that I mentioned are cannot forward, cannot print, it's read-only, and it is simple for the administrator to configure. Also, the end user in this case has control over when to apply IRM, as well as have the admin use transport rules to control it. So if you go to OWA, you can just easily do the drop down and say set IRM. So here we go. We're going to talk a bit about the admin, the sender, and the recipient personas, just like we did for OME. The admin, they do need to sign up for Azure Rights Management if they don't already have it. They don't have to have an on-premise ARM server anymore. You can use Azure Rights Management. And it is policy-driven. And you can also use content inspection, just like OME, where you can say, hey, if it's hitting certain keywords, send me an incident report, or CC my manager. This person should not be sending out this particular mail to somebody. So these are some useful things that the admin can do. And also the sender, however, in this case, unlike OME, will need to have the appropriate client support on their machine. They will need to have either OWA, Office 2010, or 2013 to be able to use RMS. And the recipient also will need to have OWA or the same client or EAS that supports IRM. Normally, since it's within the same organization, such support is already there, but you do need that as a prerequisite. So I don't have a demo for this, so I'll just quickly go over how it's configured, how it's used, and then I'll take a few questions regarding IRM as well. And here we have, you can automatically protect email using transport rules. These are some of the pre-canned templates that you get today with RMSO. Azure Rights Management. Here's company view only and company confidential and do not forward. You can use any of those. And here is the end user's experience where they will be able to select do not forward, or they'll just go to that three-dot more option and set permission, and they can select the template that they will want to use. Any questions on IRM? Oh, yes. Are there going to be any more templates added?
I think we had that question yesterday too. The answer is yes over time, but we wouldn't be able to give you the time frame for that right now. If you have a specific template that comes to mind that you say, you know what, every customer probably wants this one, feel free to give us that feedback. It's a lot more interesting if we can do something around customized templates, I think, than just give you, you know, what if I gave you the next two or the next three? It's more of a game of kind of what's the next five then or the next 10. So having the conversation in a little more detail, especially around what scenario you're trying to protect and encrypt for.
Yes. How does a sender invoke? So now it depends. Are you talking about he accidentally sent it to outside the organization? Okay, so this one, like I said, it has that protection of accidental data leakage, where if you used the company confidential or do not forward templates, you will need to have corporate credentials to access these. So, oh, okay. Sorry, say that one more. So you get, how, if you accidentally send it to someone, how do you get it back? Okay, so that support is not currently there right now. So, but that is something that we've been thinking about, and it has come up several other times. So I will surely take this back to our engineering team, and something that I'll make sure that everyone's aware. Hey, this question came up again.
There's just to chime in, there's an unplugged session that covers EOP and encryption. There's actually two of them we were repeating with a panel of us tomorrow. Some of those questions I've heard, and I'm sure they'll come up there. And we're basically kind of thinking, since we just recently released OME, we're thinking about what's the next set of features we want to release around OME. And that one is one of them. Expiration is a very common one that we hear very regularly, meaning the message will expire after a set amount of time. So even if they have it out there, I think the functionality underneath is we would build it very similarly so we can use it across a number of these features. But hearing those scenarios, this is an opportunity for all of you to basically influence what's the next set of features that are going to come out from the encryption team at Microsoft. So I really encourage you to attend the Unplugged sessions, either one of them tomorrow. And unfortunately, we don't record the Unplugged sessions, so the breakouts are recorded, the Unplugs are not. So it's very good for you to attend in person if you have kind of a vested interest in this particular space and you want to influence the future here.
Yes. Okay, so in terms of, let's say, in terms of OME, in that case, if you have so some companies can also, they don't block you from creating a Microsoft account for your organizational account. So like Condoso Pharma, I haven't done and said, I claim this organization with for Microsoft Live, so a Microsoft account. So if you go and put in Condoso Pharma, it doesn't really stop you from creating one. But you can actually, you still get that email sent to your company account to say confirm. So it does, you know, offer some security that someone just cannot go claim it. Now, the good thing is, when I mentioned when you try to open the message, we check on the backend machine to see what kind of account do you have. The options that come back to us when we do that check is an organization account, or it could be a Microsoft account, sometimes both, and sometimes neither. So in your case, this would be where both might come back, where you have both accounts, and you can actually use either one. We will honor both of them. So it's up to you. But, oh, so one more thing. However, for IRM, you can only use your company account to open. So that is how this is restricted to the company confidential bubble. Yes. So they don't actually have to be on the cloud. As long as their mail is routed through the cloud, they can use it. But if it's not routed through the cloud, it's not available. Okay, one more question. Yeah. I think what I heard is, is it possible to bulk unencrypt the messages that were sent out using OME or IRM? Both. Decryption, I think. Yeah.
So for IRM, yes. For OME, not today, especially since the encrypted message is actually in your customer's So if you're the customer, it's in your recipient's hands. So there's no bulk decrypting. The messages in your mailbox are in your sent folder. So your employees don't have it encrypted. Now, over time, there's certain scenarios that might be interesting that we can provide an additional solution around that.
So one more thing to add to that is the recipient does get a unencrypted copy. So if they want to, they can save that off or print it off. Okay, but for IRM, as Asaf mentioned, there's a bulk decryption tool that's available today that you can just bulk decrypt everything. Okay, so here we go. Next one that we'll go into is S-MIME. This is used today heavily by the government agencies. This is the peer-to-peer encryption that I mentioned way earlier, where you do need certificates configured. Your organization will need to have invested in some kind of a PKI type infrastructure and make sure your organization has configured it. And it is based on a published and broadly supported standard. You must know the recipient's public cert to be able to send them an encrypted mail, and you must have a private key associated with the email to sign the message. And without having the recipient's private key, you won't be able to open it. This support has been around and on premises for some time now, and we recently added support in OWA in SP1, so OWA also supports it in on-premise now. And just very recently, we added this to Office 365. So now the cloud also supports S-MIME. So we will now talk about the three different personas as we've done for the other encryption scenarios. So this does require some pre-configuration on the admin's hand. They will need to have issued certificates to these recipients, and they will need to have them configured and make sure they're pushed down to the each individual information workers box. And then you guys are familiar with the directory synchronization tool, DirSync, and we will need to run that to make sure your directory, Active Directory, has synced the certs to the cloud. So that certificate is available then so that you can see the options in OWA and be able to use them. The sender has the ability now to send signed and encrypted messages or either. Also, it is supported for internal to the organization. So we'll see a demo in a little bit, but you do need the sender and the recipient both to be configured in this case. And the recipient now has the ability to view the signed and encrypted message using OWA and any supported clients that support S-MIME. And they are also able to reply in this case. So I'm not going to pull up PowerShell here, but I did take a screenshot that I wanted to put on the slide. The Exchange administrator can also configure some default settings, such as, hey, always encrypt this message or always sign the message that are sent within my organization so that the end user really doesn't have to worry about it. Now, one difference that we introduced recently is, so in the on-premises environment, you are in control of your boxes. So you do have access to the local certificate store because you need to be able to trust these certificates. If you are issuing certs to a big organization, like a government agency that will be issuing certs to a big organization, you need to most likely have your own certificate authority. And you will need to be able to trust that certificate authority. Your certificate authority might not be trusted by some other organization. So normally what you do in on-premises is you push this cert to the trusted cert store, and that cert is then from there on trusted. You don't have access to our machines in Exchange Online. So what we've done is we've introduced a virtual certificate store where you can import your trusted routes to our certificate store. And we won't be looking on our box now to see what certificate is trusted by your organization because you don't have the ability to do that. We will be checking the certificate store. So if you have not imported your certificate, that cert will not be trusted. And this also, you know, make sure that someone else in the organization doesn't bring up their own S-MIME CA and start using that S-MIME cert, and you know, you don't have to worry about untrusted certs being used in your organization. So with that said, we'll actually go into an S-MIME demo. So I've already set up my machine to have the certificates and everything ready. So we're going to go back to Contoso Pharma. We have Serena, who's going to be sending mail to her manager, who is Rosella, using OWA. And Rosella is going to respond to that as my message. There we go. Oops. I'm still Amy. Pharma.com. And I don't need Dr. Ramos anymore, so I'm going to sign him out. And I'm going to sign in as Rosella. I'm going to go to Rosella's mailbox here and Serena. So in this scenario, Amy has done all the groundwork. She has synced her directory, and the certs are all there, and she's pushed down the appropriate cert to the desktops, et cetera. So I'm going to compose a new mail, and I'm going to send it to Rosella. Say trial update. For drug X. So we're going to say we might have to cut the project. Not enough funding. So let me, here we have, we will go to show message options, and now we have encrypt using SMIME and digitally sign with SMIME. So in this case, what we'll do is Serena is going to just digitally sign this. If I can click that, okay, and it is off. And you'll see, let's give it a minute for it to show up. At Rosella, she just got the update, and you'll see the nice little icon that shows you, hey, this was signed. And here you have Rosella is going to open it, and we'll see that it is valid and trusted. If you click here, you can see more options, and you'll see it was issued to Serena Franco, and this is our test CA, and it was issued by that CA, all that goodness. So Rosella knows this is actually Serena who sent it, and I trust her. So I'm going to reply to her. Now, I have some information that I'm Rosella now. I have some information that I really don't want anyone else in the organization to find out. This is top secret. So I want to make sure that I do send it encrypted to Serena. So I'm going to say, don't worry about funding. We just got some from the government to these. This is not public yet. So I'll say Rosella. And then I'm going to go here, same as before, but this time I'm going to actually encrypt this message. So I'm going to say OK, and you'll see the new little icon that says, with the key on it, that shows me this is encrypted. And I'm going to now send it out to Serena, and off it goes. Serena, And she just got it, and look, she sees the key there, and there's no preview available because it's encrypted. And here we go. It became decrypted now. And also, here's Rosella's signature, and I see, wow, this is great. Did this actually get sent by Rosella? And yes, it was sent by Rosella, but I will have to keep it hush-hush because it was it's not public yet, and Rosella had even decided to encrypt it and send it to me. So I do want to keep this information secret, but I will go forward and continue with the trials and make sure everyone gets the hair growth that they need. So that is the end of the S-MIME demo. I already see hands up. Yes, I will be taking questions, a few questions. Yes.
I'm going to catch you before you run out of there. Can you go back and send items to show that it's also encrypted there?
Rosella, send items. Yeah, see? It's a key there. And there you go. It was encrypted. But yes, you do need the private key to be able to read it. I'll get back to my main slide and I'll take a few questions. Oh, okay. Yes. So that is currently not supported widely. However, you can use, we are considering that and we will be working on maybe possibly supporting that scenario in the future, but that's right now not there.
So I'm going to add to that. So with the S-MIME model, for those of you who are familiar, the whole idea here is about the key exchange. And there is no central key repository for all S-MIME keys in the world of any kind. So for you to do that with a trusted partner, it's an individual-to-individual basis. You can have individuals agreeing to communicate securely. Since S-MIME is all about peer-to-peer, they can exchange the key, and whoever is going to send out mail to that other party can upload, store those keys basically in their client or in a variety of places. But at the end of the day, it's individuals communicating with other individuals, often ignoring or explicitly leaving out the administrator and any other parts of the organization. So given the nature of the conversation and the way the keys are kind of stored and managed, there's no kind of central repository the way you can do it with RMS, for instance. In RMS, you can trust another organization, and then anybody can communicate to anybody securely. With S-MIME, it's really about peer-to-peer. So there is no organizational trust model in S-MIME out there for using anyone. You can start talking about bulk importing keys, but you get into the question of, is it really secure if I hand over all my keys for you to import them to your organization? I think it kind of defeats the purpose of the standard.
Yes.
Does the OWA implementation of S-MIME support browsers other than IE?
Not at this time. Right now, we do IE 9 and above.
Any plans to support other browsers?
I'm not sure on that one. You might be able to talk to one of the OWA guys. I know they're in the Expo Hall area, they might have a bit more information there. So I think if you went to the OWA demo as well, you might have seen the S-MIME presentation done there as well. Yes?
In that last example, if the center also chose to use IRM, basically my question is, can you use a combination of all three in the same method, or once you use one, the other?
That's not recommended. That's not recommended. Yes. Office for Mac supporting IRM? Is that what you? No.
I saw several IRM.
Okay. The main slide that I mentioned Office was around IRM because to do that, you do need the RMS client on there. I'm not sure on the Mac story. No? Okay, I'm here seeing no. So I'm not sure there. And I'm hearing no. Yes?
If the sender is using SMI, can the policy engine encrypt the message to security?
No. So I don't know if I mentioned, this is a case where the admin cannot do scan and act on it because you do need the private key. So if you're seeing in the organization, if the admin really gets ticked off and says, hey, I can't see what's happening here, you know, you should not allow SMI. See, one question way back there.
So are those?
No, because they're encrypted. We can't see what's in it. You need the private key to be able to view it. So no, they're not. Subject line, I believe so. Is that right? Yeah. If it's only signed. No. Oh, yeah. So what he was saying is, if it's just signed, you can see it because it's not encrypted. It's, you know, you can see it. Yeah. Any more before I move on? Yes, last one. OWA web app support. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for that one. That might be a very good question for the OWA guys.
Yeah, we can actually have the answer by tomorrow's Unplugged. I want to say yes, but I don't want to lead you the wrong direction. Generally, everything that is available in OWA today is available in the MOA app on wherever it is. So whether it's, you know, on the iPhone, on the Android phone, et cetera. That's currently, I haven't found anything that does not work in that model. But let me get back to you. You know, if you're going to be in the session tomorrow, great. If not, the OWA guys are also downstairs at the expo hall, and they can also get that answer for you.
Okay, so I'm doing all right on time, but I just want to get to a summary, and then afterwards, you can feel free to ask more questions or come up and talk to me as well. So basically, we went over the three types of encryption that we offer today. The first one was Office 365 message encryption, OME. That will enable you to send to any SMTP address. You don't have to worry about what the end user is running or viewing it on, as long as they can do a post. They should be able to see it. And again, those organizations that need to talk to customers that are outside of the org, this will be great for them. Information rights management, it enables you to encrypt and apply usage rights. This is good for within the organization to make sure your company confidential information does not get leaked. SMIME, we just saw that. It is peer-to-peer encryption. This is the case where you're working on that top secret project and that you don't even want your admin to be able to see it. Okay, so that ends my session for today. Any more questions, feel free to come up and talk to me, and don't forget to fill out the evaluations. Let me know how I did. I'd love to hear the feedback. And also, after the session, for some time today, we'll be at the expo hall, so you can come talk to me about all of our encryption technologies. I'd love to hear from you guys. We also have some other folks from our team here. We are the testers and developers, so we'd love to hear your thoughts. Okay. Any questions or? All right. Oh.